This is Pastor Tory Carter of Morning Star Bible Baptist Church, West Memphis, Arkansas. We are welcoming you to our regular Bible preaching and teaching time, and we hope that you'll receive a blessing from it. Philippians chapter 3. Look at Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians chapter 3. Now, I want to show you something interesting. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like suffering. And if I stay here today and I'm preaching this message, I'm like, man, I'm just begging for suffering. No, I do not. Amen. But I do know that being a Christian, suffering is necessary. It is. Going through some things and facing some things and losing some things, forsaking some things. Now, I'm going to show you how necessary that thing is sometime. But look at Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. But what are things were gained to me? See, this is what it says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Now, that is something. That is not American Christianity. American Christianity is, I'll show you American Christianity is, go to Timothy here. This is American Christianity, and we all, especially even independent Baptist churches, amen, in America, go to Timothy here. I think it's 2 Timothy. Now watch this. This is 2 Timothy, and go to 2 Timothy here. No, I'm sorry. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's what it is. That's what I'm thinking of. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verse 4. Look at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consider not the wholesome words, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is that which according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of war, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Now look at what it says. Supposing that gain is godliness. That's what American Christianity think. Yeah. I mean, if it's a bigger building, God must be in it. Right. If it's more people, God must be in it. If it's more money, God must be in it. Amen. If it's more health, God must be in it. That's what American, even independent Baptists get like that, amen. Amen. Supposing that gain is godliness, and you know what, this is so serious to the Lord. The Holy Spirit says it's from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Amen.
Go back to Philippians here, chapter 3 again. It says, what things were gained to me, those I kind of lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And I just got a conviction about something I just read. It ain't got nothing to do with money, though. It's got everything to do with something else. And that just, wow. And when I found him, not having my own righteousness, and we don't, which is of the law, but that which through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know. Now, understand this. Understand what he's saying now. Everybody look at this. This is important. All right. Understand this. Okay. Go back and look at verse 7. Well, what things were gained to me, I kind of lost for Christ. Yet, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that righteousness which is of God by the Lord, that I may know him. Do you know, if you're going to gain God and get to know God, you're going to lose some things. Amen. It's not always in the gain of things.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You're going to lose some things. You know what the real problem is? We get Americanized.
Yeah.
We really do. I do. We do. We get Americanized. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And when we get Americanized, we all of a sudden think if it's a gain, oh, God must really be in this.
Right.
If it's gain, God's in it.
Amen.
If I ain't suffering, God's in it.
Right.
If it ain't, if I mean truly, I'm in pain, God can't be in this. Truly, my heart is broken, God can't be in that. All this struggle and hardship, God can't be in that. You know how many people ruin their marriage because after they get married, things go wrong, things go bad. I mean, this breakdown, that breakdown. They start thinking, well, God ain't in this.
Yeah. Amen.
That may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See there? Being conformed unto his death. Now that's a powerful message. And if by any means I might attain on the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Now, who are we supposed to follow after? Jesus Christ. Now, it's funny how I hear the brethren talk about, you know, y'all need to follow God, but you know what? To follow God is to follow suffering.
Amen.
To follow God is to follow laws. It's to follow God to follow breaking fellowship. It's to follow God. It says to lose something is to follow God. That don't mean you go give something away because you think God's in it. But when God comes along and God says, you know what? You need to lose this.
Amen.
You need to lose it. It's just that simple. When God comes along and says, you know what? You need to suffer this. You need to suffer it. When God comes along and God says, you need to go through this. For me, you need to go through it. But we are so busy in America, because we are Americans, and we are. Our attitude is that, look at verse 12 again. Not as though I already attained, we're already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, verse 10 says, that I may know him. Then, over here, it says, if I may apprehend. Do you know you can go through that suffering and still mess it up and still not get a hold of God?
Amen.
Brethren, I count myself to not have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth under those things which are before, I press. In other words, he makes an effort toward the mark. For the prize of high calling of God of Christ Jesus. And let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. If anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Say, when you don't know what to do, the best thing for you to do, you don't know what to do, is to go ahead and do everything you're supposed to do. And God reveal what you need to know when God wants you to know it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Let's go, Lord, and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, better than life. Master, I pray, Lord God, you help us to get something from this message. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit of God bear witness with the truth of the Word of God. And may speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What I'm going to preach on is his sufferings. Because Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Then he says, being made, not evolved, Brother Dudley, but being made conformable unto his death. In other words, God changing you, God changing me to make him more like him till the day we die or until the rapture hits. In other words, God metamorphosing, changing, molding, convicting, cutting away at you, gnawing at you, breaking me, and making us into his image. Ain't that a glorious thing?
Amen.
You would be saying that if you knew that suffering wasn't involved in it. If his way was a raise, if his way was a way of rich them, and much profit, and much gain, and much ease, and more cars, you would be like, praise God, hallelujah, preach it, preacher. But you talk about loss. Yes. Giving something.
Amen.
I know some of you thinking, man, I work so hard on that job and all them hours, and I gotta give them something?
Amen.
I wonder who thought like that. Should I make you raise your hand? No, I ain't gonna do that. I wonder who thought like that. They don't even know how hot it is. Don't even know all the work I do. I'm sorry. You would think it was kind of selfish if Brother Bridges got up and said, how hard I work, and I gotta give it to y'all kids. I know that. I know. I'll give you something to think about, don't it? When dad worked, or dad worked, your mom worked too. She should be working at home to make a better home for her husband. God forbid a wicked woman using her position as a home mother to be stinking lazy. Amen. I ain't saying you're doing it, ladies. I'm not saying you're doing it. But you wicked woman if you do. You don't want a lazy man on his job. Like, how about me come on? I got fired. I was lazy. You be ready to go off. What? What you mean? And you say, okay, you let that go. Well, the next job, come on. I got fired again. I was sitting around for a couple of hours and wasn't doing nothing. I mean, I was tired, baby. I mean, you'll be like, okay, honey, you know, I'm being submissive. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he goes, I guess, another job. After 9 days, Joe says, I got fired again. What was you doing? Just, you know, just hanging around, being lazy, not doing nothing. At least so later, somebody gonna go home. But I'm just saying, God forbid if a lady uses her position as a mother and a homemaker to be lazy. You don't want your husband. How would you like to show up for you drop your husband off? And somebody come out there, man, you got the laziest husband I've ever met. I mean, that man is so trifling. Oh, man, that man is lazy. Good Lord. It's by the grace of God he got a job. Have a nice day. You go to work again, and then we got debt deposit now, but you go pick your husband's check stub, and they say, you know, y'all don't even deserve this. This man get a 40-hour check and work about 20 hours a day. For real. You know what? Seriously, we really shouldn't even give you this check. Seriously. Here it goes again, the loafer. Here you go. He even walks slow. I mean, you as a wife would be like, honey, I think you need to step up your pep or pep up your step. Yeah, amen. But yet, sometimes, ladies, amen. You don't want your teenage girls to be lazy.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You don't want your young man to be lazy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm just talking about, but that's how we think in America.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how we think in America. You know, America is, I work less for more money.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Seriously, that's how America thinks. I work less for more money.
Right.
That's the American dream. Do you honestly understand that this country wasn't built like that? I'm talking about black, white, red, and green. It didn't matter what color skin they was. Do you understand that their attitude was that I work for what I get, and then I learn how to save what I have.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I know how to put that money aside, what I have, and put that money in a bank and save it. Do you realize that some of them back in those 40s and 50s and 30s, some of them women now, honestly, saved up a fortune just by saving pennies.
Yeah.
I kid you not, by saving pennies, we throw away more change than we got. I'll never forget when I was growing up, and we would pass by McDonald's and Burger King, and we would ask Mama, can we stop and get something to eat? And she always said the exact same thing. We got McDonald's at home. And you can have that hamburger any way you want it, Tor. I mean, I remember, honestly, I don't know how old I was to have my first Whopper. And when I had my first Whopper, I didn't know what it was. And my mama didn't buy it. It was my sister's daddy. He came to visit. And he came to visit my sister, and he bought her a Whopper, and she shared with me. Imagine that. Sharing in the home. That's so unheard of nowadays. I know, sharing in the home. When you share with your siblings on what you got. And not complain about it. I mean, nowadays it's give me, that's mine, I ain't sharing, you ate mine, I can't believe you stole from me, you didn't even buy it.
Yeah. Amen.
And they arguing who stole they cookie or who stole they drink, who stole they cupcake.
Amen.
And don't let you actually buy it. Then, I mean, then that's really a fight. Man, you bought that man.
Okay.
And let your parents come tell you this shit. You gonna get out to okay. I work hard for my cupcake, and I gotta share. That's still worse. Now, I ain't gonna lie. I gotta tell the truth. Me and my wife sometimes argue about who eating who food. Cause she don't like to share. She don't never like to share. You don't share sometimes. And sometimes I don't share with you. I admit that. I know you ready to say it. You don't share it with me. But here's what I do. I do tell her. I will buy you the whole meal. Yeah. You just can't get this one. Free. I mean, I will gladly go buy you the meal. See, that's just the point. Why she got to have... they ain't offering to buy them the whole meal. I at least offer and say, look, you go to the store and buy it all you want.
You might just want a little bit of it.
Something about that wife that want to nibble off her husband's meal. I don't understand that.
You'll be wasting it.
Anyway, that's because you never remember us when you're getting something. You don't. We I ain't gonna. Let's go on. Let's go on. We gonna go on now. Yeah, you gotta get ugly. You gotta get in the flesh now. You stingy. No, just like. But I'm just saying, some of you kids, you sit there and fuss and fight over a crumb. It don't make no stinking sense because you know what? Gain is godliness and from sin. I mean, can you imagine two roommates just arguing over something that don't even matter and then sitting over a piece of a meal? I can't believe you ate that. You ate this. You just under conviction, ain't you, Javon? It's just stepping on all you. It's just under conviction.
Amen.
And to tell you that, honestly, I'm including me in this one now. This is all of us. When you do that, you know what your problem is? Your God is your belly.
Amen.
You glory in your same.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Who mind earthly things.
Amen.
That's how we are. We're about getting and having. I'm so blessed. God is so good to me. I get extra stuff. And maybe AR-15. I mean, we just enjoy. And here's the real problem with this gain is godliness. I mean, we gain is godliness, and we're so Americanized. You know what that leads to? It leads to jealousy of somebody else.
Yep. Yes,
in the church.
Yep.
Yes,
and in the home.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
It starts off with a cupcake and ends up in bitterness.
Yep.
I want what they got.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm tired of not having something for myself.
Amen.
When is it my turn?
Amen.
You'd be amazed how many problems in the church house over jealousy and envy.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
And nobody says I'm jealous.
Yep. Amen.
Yep. I ain't met somebody yet that got enough care to say, you know, the real problem is why I made that decision, why I won this, why I won that, why I did this, that. You know, I'm just tired of not having it.
Amen.
I'm tired of seeing other people have it.
Amen.
And I want it for myself.
Yep.
And surely God gonna bless me to get it.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you, some of the price to come with that.
Yep.
There's a price to come with that.
Amen.
You know what that price is? Spiritual degeneration.
Yep.
It is. You say, well, preacher, you know, you got a lot of stuff to say that. But let me tell you something. There were times that all that stuff we got, we didn't have nothing. No furniture, no nothing. And sat on the floor and prayed. And be honest with you, sometimes I think it was a lot more happier back then. Seriously. I mean, I believe a lot of times, I'm serious, come with more money, come more problems. I remember sometimes it was good to have to pray for every little thing and be thankful for it. Because sometimes you just get the fact you get unthankful for a lot of things.
Yeah. Amen.
You get so full of yourself, so full of your possessions, you become so unthinking, unthankful, well, you're not thankful for nothing.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
You just get full of yourself.
Yes, sir.
Become ungrateful, unthankful.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen. That's right.
I'm talking about suffering and losing. It ain't always fun. In fact, I don't think it's ever fun. But it's a part of the Christian life. Suffering has a part of the Christian life. Especially the mention. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Especially the ministry. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at what it says. It goes 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 4. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, you know what God showed me? Something that a lot of people don't realize. And this is the hard, this is one of the hardest lessons. And I got to get a message together on why the suffering comes. And one of the reasons is, look at verse 5. For our sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. That word, consolation, I thought I wrote it down. I copied it. Hold on. I hate to walk by this thing. I made a copy of this. I want to show you something. The word consolation means comfort, alleviation of misery. Now understand this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound, so is all consolation also abounded by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, look what it says now. It is for your consolation and salvation. That word consolation means comfort, alleviation of misery or distress of mind, refreshment of mind or spirit, comparative degree of happiness in distress, happiness in distress or misfortune springing from any circumstance that abates the evil or supports and strengthens the mind as hope, joy, courage, and be like. You see, you know what that means? It means sometimes God brings suffering in your life so you can help others. And I hate to say this, especially lately, sometimes all the suffering we just seem to think in my own personal life is all about me.
Amen.
About my pain.
Yes.
About my loss. About what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we sit up there sometimes. See, I mean, how many of you think like that? I know I have. When we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Look at what the verse 5 says. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, their comfort, their mercy comes by Jesus Christ. It didn't come by getting out of the situation. It didn't come by changing your circumstances. It comes by you getting hold of God in the middle of the struggle, in the middle of the heartache, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the hard work, and you finding a way for you and God to get together to get the comfort that you need.
Amen.
We don't think like they. No, we think, when it gonna end?
Right.
How can I get out?
Yeah.
How can I change this?
Amen.
How about this good old goody? Simon says, I'm about tired of this.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
The people say, ding, I'm about tired of this.
Amen.
Oh, here's another one. It's getting old real quick.
Amen.
You ever say that before?
Yes,
but without asking God, what do you want me to do?
Amen.
Without going to God and saying, Lord, is it your will for me to change this? Or is you want me to suffer?
Amen.
And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in enduring the same sufferings where we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of you young men, some of you older men, you want to lead. You want to lead in suffering.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You want to lead in the suffering.
Yeah.
You want to lead in learning to endure hard as a good soldier, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're going to have to lead in that. You know, funny, we want to preach about it, but we sure want to lead in it.
Amen.
We love to exhort. Amen.
Amen.
We love to get a good exhorting speech. Let me exhort you. But we sure don't want to lead in it.
Amen.
But that's what that Bible says. What are you talking about? Suffering is a part of Christian life. Say, do you like suffering? I'll be alive if I said I did. And the Bible don't even expect me to at first. The Bible says no suffering, there's no chance of signs to be joyous, but grievous. But afterwards, you have a peace of righteousness, which is then will hang down. I mean, in other words, afterwards, after I go through it. And over the Apostle Paul, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, since we're already in 2 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what the Apostle Paul said in his suffering in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I would rather say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above than would see of me to be or hear of me. Lest it be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. That was giving me a thorn in the flesh, measure sent above of me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this episode was thrice about to depart from me, and it said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will have glory in my infirmity, that the power in Christ. If Christ rests upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. But at first, he wasn't taking pleasure in it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
At first, he was like, Lord, you got to do something. Lord, I'm struggling with this problem. Lord, I'm going through something over here.
Amen.
I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm hurting.
Yeah.
This thorn in the flesh is getting to me.
Oh, yeah.
And God, what you going to do about it? Because surely, this ain't the Christian way.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, look. I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm writing all these letters. These churches didn't even write these letters. How can I write them if I'm half blind? That's Bible. I'm in the will of God in this situation. I'm writing these letters. How can I write them if I'm half blind? Come on, Lord. No, the Lord said, okay, I'll get somebody to write them for you. Oh, wait a second now. I need to write them from the heart. They better off coming from my heart. Coming from me and my heart. They better off doing. Well, no, he can write them just as good. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. How about that prison thing? Paul messed up. He got it right, right? I mean, Paul messed up. He got it right. He said, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm going to Caesar. I'm going to Rome. When he got to Caesar, okay, I'll just leave you locked up for 2 years. You don't think he prayed in that prison to get me out of here? Do you want real Christianity or don't you? I know this ain't popular. I know this don't feel good to your flesh, nor does it feel good to mine. But the Bible says that suffering does come with the Christian life. Amen. It's a part of our ministry to go through things. It's a part of our ministry to be without. But we think it's part of our ministry to get and to have and to be in comfort.
Yeah.
And to be a success.
Yeah.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Who is your two main examples in the New Testament for the church? Or just name three of them. Name them, somebody. Jadarius, name me three of them. Who's the two people that you ought to follow after?
Christ.
Okay.
Paul.
Okay. Well, you would know the team that wrote a letter. Give me a writer. Okay. John or Peter, I got a question. How'd they die? How they leave his life?
It wasn't very nice at all.
Christ dies on the cross. Now he does get resurrected. But he dies on the cross. The Apostle Paul gets his head cut off, imprisoned, locked up. First Peter gets crucified upside down. John spends his last time on the Patmos. James gets beheaded. Stephen gets stoned by Acts chapter 7. He didn't even make the Acts chapter 8. You say, do you want that ending for yourself? No, I already go up in the rapture. Jailbird free.
Amen.
I ain't even gonna lie, but I would go up in the rapture, jailbird free, free as a bird, with liberty and freedom and happiness and truth for all. The American way. Fulfilling the American dream. But it may not be like that. It may not be like that. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at Romans chapter 8 again. Let's think about Christ's suffering and our suffering. Look at Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 17. If the children then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we what? Suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know what? Also, you got to realize about the suffering. The suffering ain't based on, is it going to get taken care of on this earth? It's based on what you're going to get in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, like I said, I ain't trying to hit on a sorry note. I know I done stepped on y'all toes enough, but wouldn't it be better for you to suffer loss giving money to your parents, you suffer loss giving money to a junkyard? Yeah. You ever think about that? Wouldn't it be better you go to heaven and say, well, I went with a little money because I gave my, helped my mom and dad out. Well, good job. Then going, well, I went to heaven because my car broke down. I had to get because my car broke down. I'm just telling you. I mean, do you realize, you know, you can either step out and just say, no, I'm going to follow God and suffer the loss of some things, or to sit there and be like, I'd rather be the American way and just get gain and lose the Lord in the process. I'm telling you, over there, he gave them the quest, and said, and sent, the Bible says, that he sent leanness in their souls. It wasn't the fact that they said, he said, okay, you want this so bad, I'll give it to you. You go ahead and have it, and see what you get with it.
Yeah.
A bad spirit, Amen. Pride.
Amen.
Full of yourself.
Amen.
Do you know there's many times I won an argument, the Holy Spirit said, you might have won that argument, but you lost a little bit of me. Some of you, you might have got that cupcake, but as you ate down and wolfed that thing down, you lost a little bit of Lord in the process.
Amen.
Is it really worth having? Just to win the argument?
Amen.
And feel vindicated?
Amen.
Because you think you know something? Hello, this is Pastor Tory Carter from West Memphis, Arkansas, Morningstar Bible Baptist Church. I pray this message was a blessing to you. You can reach us at morningstarbbc.org. Our physical address is 650 West Broadway, West Memphis, Arkansas, 72301. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 632, West Memphis, Arkansas, 72303. Our email address is msbbc1611@gmail.com. Once again, you have been listening to Morningstar Bible Baptist Church. We thank you. Have a blessed day.